Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker.
Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week we read, "You're using her as bait," I said. "Just take care of her. If anything happens to Cherry." Shannon pushed her lips together and narrowed her eyes, but did not finish her sentence. I thought back to how Shannon had rushed headlong into Payne and his men to protect Cherry. I hoped that Shannon had learned her lesson, but I doubted it. The next time Cherry was in danger, Shannon would act rashly to protect her. The bruise on my chest was a good reminder of that. If I took too deep of a breath, my chest filled with pain, I would not forget that lesson anytime soon. Beltran's words were forced. "We have a job to do. I don't have time to worry about Cherry, or either of you. Get it done, and get back here."
And now?
16. Before the last light of day was gone, I checked my phone for any new email or text messages and put it away. The windows of our black Chevy Suburban were tinted, but I did not want to take the chance that the light from the screen would draw attention to our vehicle. There was a small chance of that happening because we were parked on a busy street outside of the building that used to be Diagon's headquarters, but it was best to be cautious. The new Diagon headquarters was several miles away and had just been completed. I had not been into the building, but there had been a lot of publicity associated with its completion. Not only did it tower above all the other buildings in the city, but it also had a fully fledged zoo and aquarium on the premises. The old building in front of us was still being used by Diagon, but it was slowly getting phased out. I thought about reaching out to Vargo's surveillance team to see if Vargo was in the area, but decided against it. They would not appreciate me bothering them while they were on the job. With the events of the last couple of days, I had been too busy to keep tabs on the information they had been gathering about him. I made a mental note to review the logs when we returned to Black Brick later tonight. I mulled over Vargo's strange words the night that the Kurt family had been killed. They made more sense now that we knew Martinez was behind things. Vargo's denial of involvement to Janessa may have been genuine. I wished we knew what Vargo and Andrews had hired Payne to do, because it might help us understand why Martinez had recruited Payne out from underneath them. We could not find any evidence from the files we had taken from Kurt's home. Tom and Cherry sat in front. She was monitoring the radio, and he was on lookout. It had been a quiet couple of hours, and we had not gotten out to stretch. My legs were in danger of falling asleep, so I shifted. A moment later, I could feel the blood running back into my feet, but my legs still ached. I had not mentioned my concerns to Tom or Cherry. I did not trust them to keep my theory to themselves. Beltran was dangerous enough that I needed proof that he was using Cherry as bait before I spread it around. If I were to tell them, I would be running the risk of learning what Beltran was like when he really got angry. It was bad enough that I had said some of the things that I had. If I started trying to poison his subordinates against him, I might not be able to come back from that. Despite our vigilance, the evening had been uneventful, and it had been over 2 hours since Shannon and Lisa had disappeared into the building. "They should finish any minute now," Cherry said, looking at her watch. "We had had an update 15 minutes ago that they were almost done." "About time," Tom said. "My back is starting to hurt." If Martinez were going to make a move on Cherry, he would have done it by now. I looked out the back window, shifted, and brought my legs up onto the bench seat. That was better. Laying my head back against the window, I took a deep breath, ignoring the pain in my chest and back, and let it out slowly. I was bothered that my fingerprints had turned up on the train. What did Martinez have to gain by planting evidence of my involvement? Beltran had made it clear that he thought Martinez was in this for Payne's Diagon money, but what if he was wrong? What if Martinez was trying to destroy and discredit our organization as well? He could just pick us off one at a time. The thought stopped me cold. If that was Martinez's game, the person that would be in danger here would be the only person by herself, Shannon. Lisa was not a tactical specialist and would not be of any help if they got into trouble. If I were Martinez, I would not come after the three of us as we sat armed to the teeth waiting for him to show. No, I would go after Shannon. I pulled out my phone and dialed. they were on the 25th floor. If something were to happen to them, we would not be able to get there in time. A moment later, I was relieved to hear Shannon's voice on the other end. "Idiot," she said. "Communication is supposed to go over the radio." "Anything unusual happening up there?" I asked. Cherry and Tom looked back at me, but I did not heed the questioning look on their faces. When she did not answer, I continued. "I was wrong. Martinez is going to come after you." I noticed a startled look on Cherry's face as she realized what I meant. She probably had been worried she was bait, but had not been willing to speak it aloud. "You're worried about nothing. We're..." Shannon stopped, and I could hear her phone clattering to the ground and her pistol being pulled from her holster. "Lisa, behind you!" Gunshots came out of the tinny speaker of my phone. There was screaming, but I could not tell from who. Probably Lisa. Shannon was too busy firing her gun. After that, there were voices, but I could not make out what was being said. I covered the mouthpiece of my phone. Gunfire. Tom was already opening his door, and I was trying to make out what was happening. I did not want the sound from outside to drown out what I could hear, so I hit the front seat and motioned for Tom to shut his door and pointed to my ear. He did. Cursing, I had to suppress the same instinct as Tom to rush up there. There was not much that we could have accomplished. We were too far away. The gunshots had stopped, but there was still yelling. I thought one of the voices belonged to Shannon, but I could not tell for certain. When I recognized Martinez, I gripped the phone tighter. I could make out other muffled voices, but that was the extent of it. At one point, I could have sworn that I had heard Lisa say that Martinez had taken long enough. I gripped my phone tight, wondering if I had misheard. Her voice had been calm and collected. Had she not been screaming moments before? Had it been an act to distract Shannon so Martinez had the opportunity to take her out? There was a pause in the conversation, and I wondered if somebody had noticed Shannon's phone lying on the ground. There were scraping sounds as it was picked up, and heavy breathing came through the phone. Closing my eyes, I focused, trying to make out every last whisper that I could. An image of Shannon lying in her blood came to mind. Taking a deep breath, I pushed away the thought and refrained from speaking. "Follow us," Payne said, "and she dies." The line went dead.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.